Hello, Madison. Welcome to the Wisconsin Energy Broadcast, a show about clean tech, renewable energy, and the ways this rapidly growing industry is changing how we think about power. The Wisconsin Energy Broadcast is a project of the Perpetual Notion Machine. Now, here's your host, Heather Allen and Nan Fay.
Hello, it's good to be back with you on this episode of the Wisconsin Energy Broadcast. I'm your co-host, Heather Allen. The second half of the show is an interview recorded earlier in September when much of Dane County was underwater and suffering from extreme rainfall events. In this interview, Nan Fay and I talk with Keith Riopel, the head of the Dane County Office of Energy and Climate Change. Keith talks to us about his work and the work of the recently formed Dane County Council on Climate Change. The council is working to put together a countywide action plan to address climate issues. Let's get started.
I'm Nan Fay, and I'm here with my co-host, Heather Allen.
Hey there.
To speak this today with Keith Riopel, who is the director of Dane County's Office of Energy and Climate Change, about what's going on in Dane County, apart from the current flooding that's happening right now. So, Keith, would you tell us a little bit about your work in the Office of Energy and Climate Change for the county?
Sure. Well, first of all, thanks very much for inviting me and having me on your show. I greatly appreciate the opportunity. So, the Dane County Office of Energy and Climate Change was created just about a little over a year ago, about a year and 3 months at this point. And under the leadership of County Executive Joe Parisi, they wanted to create an office to do two things, really. One was to look at the county operations and facilities and all the county departments and look at the greenhouse gas footprint of those departments and work with those departments to reduce their greenhouse gas emissions. So that's one part of it. That's sort of the probably smaller part of it right now. And the bigger part of it is to look across the entire county, public sector, private sector, everybody and everything that's going on in the county, and come up with a climate action plan for Dane County that will put us on a path to deep decarbonization, basically to make sure that by mid-century, we have reduced our greenhouse gas emissions by somewhere in the range of 80 to 100%, which is a very tall order. But that's the meat of the work that I'm doing right now, in the middle of right now.
Okay. Can you say a little bit more about what it means when you say deep decarbonization?
Right. So, you know, our economy is primarily based on fossil fuels, burning fossil fuels, and of course fossil fuels combustion emits carbon emissions and CO2, a form of carbon, is the most prominent greenhouse gas emission. There are other greenhouse gas emissions. Methane, for example, from the agricultural sector is an even more potent greenhouse gas emission. But carbon dioxide really makes up the bulk of the emissions. And I like to refer to it as carbon pollution, make up the bulk of the emissions that are really driving climate change and driving the crazy weather that we've been seeing of late here in Dane County. We've had a great example, unfortunately, of late. So deep decarbonization is really just decarbonizing our economy so that we are no longer dependent on fossil fuels, but instead we're powering our economy with clean, renewable energy resources.
Thank you for that definition and for supporting the work of the Wisconsin Energy Broadcast, since clean energy is our thing.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely. And you mentioned a climate action plan. Can you tell us about what goes into the plan, who's working on the plan, and how are you developing that plan? When will we see a plan?
Great questions. So the way we're going about developing this climate action plan for Dane County is we have convened a climate council, and the climate council is made up of 38 organizations that hopefully represent a really broad diversity of interests and perspectives in Dane County. So, for example, there are probably about 10 businesses that are represented on this council, and also the Madison Chamber of Commerce, the Madison Area Chamber of Commerce, is one of the council members. So they actually represent, of course, thousands of businesses in Dane County. But besides them, there's a solar company, there's a bioenergy company, there's a bank, there's a construction company. So really a broad diversity of business interests. Then there are also a lot of environmental groups that I'm sure a lot of your listeners are very familiar with, groups like Clean Wisconsin and Renew Wisconsin and Sustain Dane and others. And there are also a number of representatives from the University of Wisconsin. The Nelson Institute is represented. The Wisconsin Energy Institute, which is part of UW, is represented on the council. So there's a lot of academic expertise there as well. And then equally important to all any of those perspectives is there are several groups that are there really to bring a equity and justice perspective to the development of this climate action plan. So, for example, the Ho-Chunk Indian Nation is represented there. The Dane County Office of Equity and Inclusion is one of the groups on the Climate Council. The YWCA of Madison, which runs a really amazing equity and justice training program, is also there to bring that equity lens. And the Urban League of Greater Madison is also there to bring that equity and justice perspective. So there are a lot of groups in that space. And so it's really a very broad, diverse range of interests.
Are any municipalities represented on the council?
Thank you. There are several of them. So actually five to be exact. So City of Madison is there. The City of Middleton is there. City of Monona, City of Fitchburg, and the City of Sun Prairie.
You've got a big group of people there. How are you doing the work of writing an action plan together?
Yeah, so in addition to that large council, and it is large, but it's a great thing that we have so many people interested in being part of this effort. But we also have 10 what we call work groups that advise the Office of Energy and Climate Change on different areas of clean energy. So, for example, we have a work group on renewable energy resources. We have a work group on energy efficiency, a work group on sustainable buildings, a work group on transportation and land use, another one on agriculture, forestry, and food, and another one on water. And think of that as sort of the water energy nexus. So those are six substantive work group areas. And each of those groups has, and there are 10 in total, but each of those groups has about, on average, probably 10 members. And unlike the council, which is really about stakeholder perspective, those work groups are really populated with experts in those areas. And so there are a lot of businesses, the energy efficiency work group has several energy efficiency program implementers, for example, energy efficiency consultants. And so a lot of deep expertise. And so the way we're coming up with this climate action plan is that those work groups are coming up with ideas for programs, projects, and policies. Those are sort of the three buckets of different actions we can take to address climate change that will populate the climate action plan. So they come up with recommendations for different policies and programs, and they bring those ideas for different policies and programs to the council. The council deliberates on them and ultimately decides what will go into the climate action plan. So it's a consensus-based process. So all the council members, it is a wide diversity, but they kind of all have to agree that these are actions that make sense for Dane County.
How can a member of the public or one of our listeners find out more about the work of the council and what proposals or presentations folks are doing in your activities?
Yeah, that's a great question. And so you can go to the easiest way probably is to go to the Dane County website, which will quickly lead you to the website for the Office of Energy and Climate Change. So you can go to that website. You can look at all of the meetings that the council has held. You can look at all the presentations that have been made at those meetings. You can look at notes from those meetings. So that's a good way. But, you know, actually another good way would be actually to just email me or call me. And you can email me at, my last name is Reopelle, R-E-O-P-E-L-L-E dot Keith, K-E-I-T-H, at countyofdane, all one word, .com. And yeah, you know, so many people have, you know, heard that this effort is happening to create a climate action plan and have contacted me already. And that's, you know, terrific. We really appreciate it. So we'd love to hear from more citizens in Dane County. But the other thing is we are going to have some more formal opportunities for people to weigh in. And so actually, if you send me an email at that address, I'd be happy to put you on a list of folks that we will send a draft copy of the Climate Action Plan to get comments. And that draft of the Climate Action Plan probably won't be out for a few more months now, but within a month, we're going to send out sort of a precursor to that draft climate action plan, which would just, it'll just be a laundry list of all the different recommendations that the Climate Council has come up with so far. So there will be a couple of very formal efforts to get public comment on the climate action plan that we're developing. And that reminds me that, Heather, you had asked me a question before about sort of the timing of this whole effort. The effort started almost exactly a year ago, and I have told the members of the Climate Council that we will wrap up that work by roughly the end of this year, and then it is going to take us another few months to actually literally write the Climate Action Plan and get it published. And so our expected sort of release date, if you will, for the Climate Action Plan will be Earth Day of 2019, which of course is April 22nd.
Oh, that's right.
So that's when the Climate Action Plan will be done, and that's when we'll share it with the public. And by the way, speaking of that sort of release date, I have to put in a little plug. There's a national group called EcoAdapt, and they hold every other year a huge climate adaptation conference. It's a 3-day conference. In 2017, it was held in St. Paul, and there was over 1,000 sort of people, practitioners, people who work on climate resiliency and adaptation at that conference from every state in the United States and many other countries. And in 2019, that conference is going to be right here at the Monona Terrace. The Nelson Institute will hold their Earth Day conference on Earth Day, which falls on a Monday in 2019. That's the 22nd. And then that'll be at the Monona Terrace. And then the next 3 days will be 3 days of climate adaptation and resiliency conference called, the name of the conference is the National Adaptation Forum. And I think if you just Google NAF, it'll probably come up.
And we'll put a link to that in our show notes and a link to your webpage as well, so that folks can easily find those websites. But yes, it will Perfect. Be a very exciting April 2019.
It will be, yeah. The conference is going to be fantastic. It's going to be amazing. And literally at that conference, we'll hold a session where we kind of release our climate action plan for Dane County and describe what's in it.
Perfect timing. Well done.
Yeah.
You've tuned in to the Wisconsin Energy Broadcast. On tonight's episode, we will air part two of our very interesting interview with Keith Riopelle from the Dane County Office of Climate and Energy. Part one of our interview with Keith Riopelle actually aired in October on our October episode, which you can find on our podcast or in our archives. And that conversation with Nan and Keith focused on the Dane County Climate Change Council and their efforts to develop a Dane County Climate Change Action Plan. So that is a really interesting conversation. And we now have an update on that conversation, which is that the council has discussed 3 specific recommendations that might be of interest to you, our listeners. One of the recommendations is to focus on comprehensive customer-focused efficiency and to increase electric efficiency countywide by 10 to 25% by providing increased supports for those who want to reduce their energy use and improve their energy conservation, providing more connections to focus on energy resources and more reliable and comprehensive information for small businesses and households and really everyone who lives in Dane County or works in Dane County. The Climate Action Plan is going to set goals of at least 1/3 of electric generation coming from wind and 1/3 coming from solar. So that's very exciting. On tonight's episode, we are going to talk with Keith about the work that Dane County is already doing as a local government to improve emissions reductions and to save energy and to promote renewable energy. After you hear our interview with Keith, we have a very special interview with our radio show engineer, Dave Harker, and his wife, who have decided to embark on a wonderful new adventure that involves retrofitting a van so that it's suitable to have solar panels on top and they can take a really fascinating road trip. So stay tuned for that conversation. It promises to be very interesting. And now let's turn to our second part of our interview with Keith Riopelle.
Can we go back to the projects that are going on in Dane County now that you can tell us about?
Yeah, that's. Thank you for asking, because there is so much going on. Again, County Executive Joe Parisi has been really, this stuff doesn't just happen by itself. It takes leadership. And he's got an amazing track record of investing in clean energy and clean energy projects. And the Dane County Board has also been extremely supportive of our Office of Energy and Climate Change and the clean energy projects on the ground. So at this point, Dane County actually has invested in enough different renewable energy resources to actually offset all of the electric energy that we use in our facilities and operations. And so let me just describe what that means across the landscape in Dane County. The biggest thing we have right now is electric generation at the Rodefeld landfill in the southeast corner of Madison. That produces electricity for energy geeks that are listening in. It's about 6.4 megawatts of capacity at that landfill. So it's actually a huge renewable resource. There's a lot of changes going on. And if we have time, we can get into that. A lot of changes going on at the landfill. But anyway, that's one resource. We also are producing electricity at a closed landfill on the other side of the county by near Verona. So there was a landfill there that's been closed for quite a few years, but it is still giving off methane gas, and that gas is then burned in a generator and produces electricity there. We've also helped to get two biodigesters built in Dane County. One of them is in Wanakee and the other is in town of Springfield near Middleton. And those two digesters each have a capacity of 2 megawatts, which again is a lot of electricity. To put it in some perspective, these numbers I know aren't terribly helpful, but that 6.4 megawatts at the landfill, that powers about 4,000 homes in Dane County. So that gives you some sense of how much electricity it is. Those digesters each take manure from three very large dairy farms, and the manure is aggregated, brought together, and fed into the digesters. And then again, there are generators on site there that generate the electricity. Dane County has also put solar panels on, at this point, 15 of our buildings for various Dane County operations. There are solar panels on the Dane County Jobs Center. There are some solar panels out at the Lion Energy Center. There are solar panels on a couple of our parks. There are solar panels in the works in other sites, and the biggest one, which will be a huge increase in the solar generation, we are currently in the process of selecting developers to develop 40 acres of land north of the Dane County Airport, and that will actually amount to roughly 8 megawatts of electric generation from that solar array.
Hey there, this is Heather breaking into our pre-recorded interview with Keith. Nan is about to ask Keith about what's happening at the landfill, and we had such a wonderful discussion with Keith about everything that's happening at the landfill that we didn't get time to put it all on the air. Keith highlighted the ongoing prairie restoration work. Once the landfill has been filled and closed many years from now, those native plantings that they're planting today will eventually become part of a large conservation park, complete with trails and wetland and prairie ecosystems. We also talked about the Clean Sweep program at the landfill, which allows you to drop off and pick up partially used cans of paint, solvents, and other household chemicals. This excellent free program is available 6 days a week and can be a great way to find that half a can of purple spray paint you need last minute for your son's art project. So don't forget Clean Sweep. Now, let's get back to Nan and Keith as they talk about the other things that are happening at the landfill.
You said something about interesting things, other things going on at the landfill.
Right.
Can you say what you had in mind?
Yeah, so there's so much going on at the landfill. I have to say that if you've never been out there, and I know most people don't think of going to the local landfill for, you know, a vacation, but if you haven't been out there, they did give tours. They actually give about 100 tours a year, and the tours are absolutely fascinating. So I'll just rattle off some of the things that are happening out there and then one really big thing that's in the works. So it's interesting. When you drive on Highway 12 and 18, you're leaving Madison, right, going to the east. The landfill is on your left right after you go under I-90. There's also waste heat coming off of the generators that produce electricity, and that waste heat is going across not 12 and 18, but across a county road, other side of the road, where it is used to heat the county highway garage that's there. It's a huge highway garage where we park the snowplows and dump trucks and things like that. It also heats the medical examiner's office there, and also heats a 911 call center there. And by the way, the medical examiner's office and the highway garage are covered with solar panels. There's about 200 and I want to say 30 or 40 kilowatts worth of solar capacity on those buildings. They also can, they've done this on a pilot basis, and they're working on actually taking dry ice to market, but they literally strip the CO2 out of the methane gas and can use it to make dry ice. And that's how dry ice is made. Huh. And so what's really fascinating is that CO2 is actually still mined today. Like, I mean, there's tons of waste CO2, right? I mean, you know, it's an emission.
We have it everywhere, yeah.
But we have it everywhere, but it costs money to, you know, take it out of the emissions from the power plant, for example. And so it literally is mined, CO2 is, to go into carbonated beverages and make dry ice and all kinds of other uses.
I did not know that.
And so now the big thing that's happening there at the landfill, it just happens that this is really fortuitous, there's a natural gas pipeline, it's owned by ANR is the name of the company, pipeline that runs right through the land, sort of through the middle of the landfill, literally. It runs between the landfill itself, where the garbage goes, and all of everything else that we've been talking about here, all the buildings and infrastructure there. And what we're doing there right now, if you drive by there right now, you'll see a huge construction site and tons of trucks and tons of equipment, because they're building the capacity to take the methane that comes out of the landfill, it's part methane and it's part CO2 and it's part a lot of other gases that are in there. The methane that comes into your home, if you live in the city of Madison, the natural gas is what we refer to it as, which is really a misnomer, I feel like. But anyway, that gas that comes into your home to run your stove and heat your house, if that's what you have, that's almost pure methane. And so we have to take to heat your home or to, you know, power a compressed gas vehicle with methane from the landfill, we have to clean that up, basically. We have to take out all the impurities. So we're building the capability to clean up that gas from the landfill and then to inject it into that gas pipeline, and then it will be able to be used, and not sort of literally, but virtually, in a market. There's clean renewable fuels laws at the national level and in some states, and in particularly in California. So there's a renewable fuel standard at the national level, which requires refineries, you know, the ExxonMobils of the world, to have a certain amount of cleaner fuel, renewable fuel. And then in places like California, they have a low carbon fuel standard, which actually requires customers and retail sellers of the gas to have more renewable fuels, specifically to address climate change in California. Anyway, we'll be producing clean gas that has a huge climate change benefit, a huge greenhouse gas benefit, because you're both destroying the methane that otherwise would come out of the landfill, and you're displacing petroleum-based fossil fuel in the vehicles. And so we'll be doing that as well and transitioning to this effort. And the last part of that, which is really exciting and really cool, is that we'll also have the ability to take compressed gas from other places like biodigesters, for example, they'll be able to bring gas in trucks to the landfill, get it cleaned up, and get it injected into that pipeline so they can also use biodigester gas, or it could come from other landfills or any other source of biomethane, and put it into the pipeline there and again, provide it to help meet federal requirements for clean fuels in vehicles.
So basically, if I'm understanding this correctly, you are the methane and the CO2 you're extracting from the landfill that are generated from the landfill. You're using it in a number of ways. You're powering the county's fleets. You're going to sell it and distribute it through a pipeline. And you're using it to heat buildings. Is there something? Is there another element? It sounds like it's multiple uses.
Yeah, and it's not, we're not putting this into the market yet, but there is the capability there to make dry ice too.
That's sort of a side thing. That is exciting. It's
and
so
you,
many
And you
uses.
Mentioned one thing that I didn't actually, because you're aware of this, and I appreciate you mentioning it. At this point, we have over 80 of our own vehicles, and think of mostly heavy-duty trucks like snowplows and dump trucks, of our own vehicles that have been converted or we purchased them this way, that run on compressed gas. And so they're able to run on compressed biomethane from the landfill. And we're really, one of the recommendations that we will have in this climate action plan will be to expand that compressed gas fueling infrastructure so that other municipalities in Dane County and private businesses that have larger fleets of vehicles can also access that biomethane to run their vehicles.
That's great.
Win, 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 it sounds
like. There you go.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we're almost out of time, but I wanted to just ask you, is there something that our listeners should know about the Dane County's work on clean energy that you haven't had a chance to mention yet, or some way that they could get involved and be supportive of these efforts?
Yeah, well, again, I really appreciate you asking me about how they can get involved. And again, go to our website, the Office of Energy and Climate Change. But also don't hesitate to actually email me if you want to get more involved, because we have a lot of volunteers, we have a lot of interns. Literally, we have more than 100 people volunteering to put together this climate action plan, which is really amazing. And what I haven't said too much about, I've given a couple examples, but of the types of recommendations, types of programs and policies that will be in this climate action plan. Some of them we're still figuring out, but some we know at this point. And I'll give you one example. The last thing I'll leave you with is one example, which I think is really exciting. We looked at all of the electricity use in Dane County, and we then looked at, this is the work group on renewable energy, looked at if we were to meet all of that with wind power, what would that look like? Or if we were to meet all of that with solar power, what would that look like? And how much solar power would that be? And for the solar power example, in order to meet all of our electric load, it would take roughly 3,600 megawatts of solar capacity. To put that in some perspective, I mentioned earlier, we have 40 acres north of the airport that we're going to cover with solar panels. That'll be about 8 megawatts. So you can sort of imagine sort of the scale. Now, what that work group did was they thought, well, if we're going to get all of our electricity from clean energy, we should probably just assume that we're going to need to get at least a third of it from solar power. And so that's the recommendation. And so that, do the math, that's 1,200 megawatts of solar power capacity. And a natural question is, does that mean we have to have that many solar panels on land or and rooftops? Hopefully a lot of it will be on rooftops in Dane County. Not really, because it's not as though most of the electricity we use in Dane County today comes from within the county anyway. But we want as much of it as possible to be in Dane County, because there are lots of benefits that come with it. There's economic benefits, there's health benefits, there's community benefits. And so one of the recommendations is to get literally a third of our electric, to meet a third of our electric demand or electricity usage through solar power. And so that's an example of, I feel like a really bold, recommendation and a bold, policy and program that is being forwarded through the Climate Action Plan. But anyway, stay tuned, please contact us if you want to get involved. And otherwise, stay tuned around Earth Day next year and watch for the Climate Action Plan, the Dane County Climate Action Plan.
We will do that. We will be
very excited
with bated breath.
Absolutely. Thank you so much for all of this background information and inspiration.
Well, thanks very much for the invitation and the opportunity to share what we're doing. I greatly appreciate it.
Thanks, Keith.